This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN. Bob Books, Dave Ross, and Jensen Lewis here with you. I am here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, in Cleveland, Ohio, getting ready to get on that big bird right after the show, and it's out to Sin City for you, sir.
Looking forward to it. Just a little quick trip to get all set up with our proxies. Dave there and Tom at Vegas Football Proxy. We'll touch base with them tomorrow morning, get the official $1,000 hat, get my card for the solo entry. You and I already making some adjustments for our joint entry, the Buy the Book Show entry, which I think we are looking forward to getting off to a much better start in week one and week two. But yeah, man, I'm just thrilled that it looks like a cool front moving through Vegas. Supposed to be in the high 90s, low hundreds instead of these 110s people were telling me about. So yeah, it's 59 here in Cleveland. So by the time we land, we should be in triple digits. So we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, and I think it goes to show the slow start we had last year in weeks one and two, picked it up from there. It shows you how difficult it is to handicap the NFL, yeah. But that's what we're trying to do. And certainly what we did yesterday here is a network with our Pro Football Futures Draft, and that's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
A lot of fun had by all. We had to make 10 selections here, Jensen. We did it yesterday on Mitch and Paul's show on Follow the Money, and it was a fantastic turn of events, I think, as the show went on, but also trying to find that value in it very quickly for those that might have missed the draft and our picks. I know some people on social media were asking, Jensen, what were the highlights for you of your selections?
Dustin Sweetelson was just a man about town, being able to wrangle this group, multiple locations, multiple time zones, multiple states. And I think to be able to squeeze this in 2 hours was just a phenomenal job of directing and orchestrating. A couple of top moments for me, the quartet at Bar Canada. Shout out Tim Murray, Story Bond, and Tony Matt Humans, John and Von Tobel. They could have been their own show within the big show, and they certainly were. The back and forth, getting Nick Bakay, Keyshawn Johnson in studio there at Circa. John Hansen, the guru, when he's got the script in front of him, he's good to go. When things go haywire, we got to get him an updated big board in real time. But, buddy, I told you, and for people just joining us, the top four picks on my big board all went the way that I wanted. And I was kind of shocked that I got where I was able to get. I figured one or two of them would be sniped. Stormy ended up taking the Browns under win total that I wanted to get in round five. But all in all, I was pretty happy with the way that I drew it up, how things fell to me. And I'm excited to see how it plays out.
You know, Dustin Sweetelson, he put the number for me with Cowboy-related selections, and he set that number at 2.5. It soared over the total a year ago in the first version of this draft. It goes way under this year, Jensen. I only got my hands on one pick. It was my first overall pick at ninth, and it was the Cowboys to win the East at 215. We just had TG Thomas Gable on. He said that number keeps coming down. He's got it at $2 at the Borgata, so Cowboy money coming in. It's been a theme. Hopefully you've been watching, Jensen and I, listening to us throughout the summer here. I really do like the Titans. And that became my big play on team here in the draft. And also, again, people, these are spots, and you'll see me and Jensen's full portfolio of futures picks that we have before we get to week one. I do have a lot of Titans tickets out there. I did play Cam Ward in our draft here over 20.5 touchdowns. I did play the Titans over 6.5. And the long shot of long shots for me to win the division at 8-1 in a better ticket that I have in my pocket is 9-1 out there. So shop around. I really do like Titan up. And Tim Murray did kind of force me to wear a jacket by the end of the show. I was wearing my First Strike shirt for Rob Moreno, wherever you get your podcast here. And by the way, speaking of, we're going to have the great Lou Finicaro on the program a little bit later on talking about UFC Sacramento tomorrow night. Jensen, we did have a milestone last night in Major League Baseball. The great Jacob deGrom did hit 2,000 Ks in his fantastic career. Boy, you wonder without injuries where that number might be today. And then Kate Anderson, just getting it started. I know you know what that's like to be called up and get that that first glimpse of the show here. That's what he's going to get for Seattle. What are your takeaways from the diamond last night?
Yeah, if only Kate Anderson could hit, because that's what the Mariners definitely need. As bad as they've played, and they got destroyed by the Milwaukee Brewers, yet they're only three games out of a playoff spot. Kate Anderson, number one pitching prospect in baseball, number five overall in the game. You remember him from a year or so ago, the national championship winning LSU Tigers. He was their ace. It has been not a matter of if, a matter of when he's going to be recalled, and he will get his debut against one of the hotter offenses in Big League Baseball right now in the Chicago Cubs. Jacob DeGrom, again, remember, Dave, at the trade deadline, Atlanta had a deal in place to acquire DeGrom. Imagine what that rotation with Chris Sale and Jacob DeGrom might look like right now. He vetoed the trade, as was his right, at 10-5. He gets that full no trade clause power to do so. But what, the second quickest to 2,000 strikeouts as far as games pitched and innings pitched, second only to Randy Johnson and Chris Sale in those respective categories. What a run we've got here from Texas. They currently tied with Minnesota for the final wild card spot as we begin play in the American League.
By the way, just the odds to make the playoffs very quickly. Texas still plus money at plus $1.40. Seattle, less than 3-1. I'm seeing 265s out there in the marketplace here, Jensen. Out of those two teams, if I made you bet one of those today, Texas at plus $1.40 or Seattle plus 265, where would you go?
Oh, God, I mean, I'm pot committed on the Mariners. I do like that I get Kate Anderson now in the rotation. That's great. I just said it. Maybe if he could hit, we'd be fine. It's three games. Like, I don't know,
that's
man.
That's crazy.
I mean, Houston gives up 18 to the Angels. Yeah, what are we doing? You know, like, no, if you figure out the West today, please let us know, because I have no clue. Watching Houston, Texas, Seattle, it is just a crapshoot. But, hey, your Royals have won five in a row. They're just 8.5 out.
Just oh, my God. Don't threaten me with a good time. All those tickets that I've already written off, Jensen. Can you imagine if they're back in play? We'll find out in September. We'll see if the Cavaliers are back in play. I know that was a team I really thought, boy, maybe they could be sneaky in the postseason. You didn't like this team last year in their makeup. And I think that proved to be exactly the case. I don't know how different it's going to look, though. James Harden's coming back. 3-year, $97 million extension. You mentioned now, number one, please like, subscribe to VSiN by the Books podcast. That they're going to have some other decisions now and other guys here, Jensen, in the land. What do you make of this re-signing and this extension?
Well, it is not surprising. This was kind of the idea all off-season, or at least once the Donovan Mitchell extension was done, then they would understand as far as the cap goes and the first and second aprons where that actual monetary threshold would be. It really hasn't changed any odds. They're still 9-1. To win the Eastern Conference. Again, I still think that they don't have their identity yet. And, you know, when you've got the head coach, Kenny Atkinson, saying, well, analytically we won, we got to fix that too. So, you know, it's kind of like, well, who are we, man? We'll wait a little bit later into the first bit of October before I really sink my teeth into it. We know that the NBA doesn't really get paid attention to until Christmas Day. But they still have a long way to go to try and run down New York, Philadelphia, Boston, even Detroit, you know, right there in their own division.
We've got a five-way tie atop the second leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. This is being held at Belle Reve in St. Louis. Remember, they had the PGA Championship there about 8 years ago. Jensen, this is blowing my mind here. Scottie Scheffler was 2 over par. He is obviously 8 back of the lead with 3 days to play. Remember, this is a no-cut event. I just checked 3 different books. Are you ready for this? I saw at 1, maybe at quote-unquote faraway places, 18-1 for Scottie to win. I saw one at Bet365 for Scotty to win now at 28-1. And I saw at DraftKings 41-1. I mean, that's quite the variance on world number one. If you can get a 41-1 out there and Scotty 8 back with 3 days to make that up, Jensen, would that entice you at all?
No. I don't really have a good read on this whole deal. Just again, smaller field, not my cup of tea. I know I asked you hour one. I'll ask you again here. Like you're already really well positioned for your card, both outright placement market. What would get you to the window? Like, what would you need to see, or what number of a guy from what you saw in round one to where we are before we tee off today would get you to the window on a potential live ad?
I'm glad you mentioned with the caveat being well positioned, because that does change again what I'd be really willing to risk, because I've taken that risk before. And so now that I'm positioned, say, with Ludwig at 4-1 for top Euro, well, in order to do that, you got to beat Rory, you got to beat Matty Fitz and those guys. So I like that position. But if you don't have anything in pocket, I would look at the big suite here. You can get him about 15-1 out there in the marketplace right now, which is close, Jensen, to what he was pre-flop, if you will, before Scotty had the bad day yesterday. He is well positioned again this weekend. I keep saying this every week in the program. He's been a top 20, top 10 machine here as well. I don't think he's going to go away. I think that ticket will get much shorter by the time we get to Sunday. So again, I think Ludwig's close to winning again out there on the PGA Tour. Vamos! We're going to get Carlos Alcaraz. Carlito will be back there at the United States Open here coming up in Flushing Meadow coming up in September. Gents, this is great news, obviously. Betting perspective, will make it a little bit tougher on the Yannick Sinner guys out there. But to get Carlos Alcaraz back at a big-time event in New York City, I wonder what he's going to look like. I don't know if I'm willing to back him. We'll talk to Zachary Cohen about this in weeks ahead. But we are going to get the former world number one back in action.
We will go with our in-house advisory committee headlined by Joe Friso on where he believes this changes the topography being Love in it. And around that area there. All I know, homemade honey deuces, the great drink that you have to pay an arm and a leg for there at the facility, free of charge, courtesy of yours truly, when we eventually watch some of these matches later on.
The last time I was there, I was not of age, Jensen, so I could not have had one of those. But I would have one today. We're going to hear from the big man in Tampa Bay. Is he happy with the new money? Vita Vea talk next right here, VSiN by the Books.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We're going to have the great Lou Fitticaro join the program a little bit later on today, discuss all things UFC Sacramento. That's a really sneaky, deep card this week. I'll give out some of my plays here, Jensen, before the show is done as well. But we are really getting excited here for football season, real football season. And I know the Buccaneers are one of those teams that maybe people have a very different opinion on this year. Because, look, I don't know. You and I talk about all the time, ATS. Do you really want to fade Baker Mayfield? Week in, week out, good luck. He burned us numerous times last year. And we talked a lot in this offseason about, you know, Baker didn't get the new deal. Is he really happy with management? He says he's not going to talk contract now until the season is over. Vita Vea said he wanted to get traded. Remember that? Vita wanted out. Well, he did get that one-year extension. And now the big man in Tampa, which is a key to their defense, and Todd Bowles is known as a defensive-minded head coach. Well, really, who's to blame for last year's collapse when Carolina came through the back door to win this division? Is it on the players or is it on the coach? Here's Vita Vea.
Kind of want to set the record straight. I feel like there's a lot of stuff going about on Bowles. I feel like none of it is Bowles' fault. And I feel like we all love Bowles. You can ask every player in the locker room. So that's one thing I want to set the record straight as. We all love Bowles. It's not what he's doing. You know, he's telling us what to do. He's giving us all the answers to the test. And it's on us players to be able to go out there and execute what he's telling us to do. So he's always putting us in the best position to play. So that's one of the main things, just being able to take coaching and in that light. So if anything, it's on blame us players for not executing. Bowles always puts us in the best position to win games. I even told Bowles, I was like, the day he retires, the day I retire.
If you're listening out there in SiriusXM channel 158, you're watching on YouTube television, FanDuel Sports Network, that was Todd Bowles is what he was referring to. Todd Bowles is exactly the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Jensen. That win total is sitting at 8.5. Baker says he's going to shock the world. And then how about Vita Vea? The day that Bowles retires is the day that he will shut it down as well.
Needs to be $100,000 fine if you wear sunglasses to an interview. It's just so incredibly tacky and unprofessional. Okay, let's get to brass tacks here. You know that anyone that can listen to Baker Mayfield is a man of his word. He's beloved in that locker room. There's a lot of guys that are motivated. Chris Godwin, one of my picks yesterday for the Pro Football Futures draft, into a contract year. I know that he's had his injury issues notwithstanding. Knowing the dynamic you could have with Emeka Buka and Godwin and hopefully Bucky Irving up to the task, I think it's an incredibly motivated group. It will be a very early handicap for me, Dave, as we learned last year, fading Baker Mayfield early in the season, not a very advantageous or profitable thing to do. Hard pressed for me right now to look. And I'm just going to be one of those really intriguing offensive games in week one with Tampa and with Cincinnati. Will Cincinnati's defense have improved year over year? Tampa with guys that want to come out and make a statement, want to prove something early. Not that it's an auto bet for me to take the Buccaneers on the road, but hey, Zach Taylor's teams, traditionally slow starters. Maybe the Bengals do win week one and don't cover. Okay, good enough for us. If that's an ATS team we're looking to take there with the Bucs. Week number two, home opener. It's not a revenge game because Baker's already played the Browns since departing Cleveland, but it will be some semblance of revenge, and that's fine. I'd be willing to back that. I do think that because Coach Bowles is going to be on the hot seat, that they are probably not going to leave a lot of stones unturned. They're probably going to empty the clip pretty early here. And why wouldn't you, knowing where you are with the two defenses you're going to face? Bengals could be just middle of the road. Browns, at least on paper, could still be one of the better units, even without Miles Garrett, adding in Jared Verse and what their secondary looks like. Vikings and Packers, you know, you get the Packers without Micah, then you got to go to Dallas on a short week, Thursday Night Football. That could be 60 points plus with both those teams, the way they're going at that point. So I picked this team to win the division. I don't know if it's my highest conviction, but it certainly is a team I like early because they're going to have the urgency. So many guys with so much on the line, having been in those clubhouses, Dave, that's an incredible motivator. And when we are looking at week one of the NFL, what it's the most difficult week to handicap and an overreaction week in game in week two, that might be a team that you just set it and forget it. Back Baker in Tampa the first couple of weeks and then read and react from there.
Yeah, one of my best buds, I mentioned Chris Seibert. He and I have debated football since fifth grade. We were having dinner last night talking about Baker because he lives in Tampa now. And I said, what is his reception like down there in Tampa? He said, beloved, Jensen. 3 years there in Tampa Bay at 17 games played, 17 games played, 17 games played. You know this in Cleveland as well. He's won over that city. And so they're looking for him. Like, he's like, no, we want him re-signed in Tampa Bay. That'll be interesting to see if this is that last hurrah, Vita Vea, Baker Mayfield, Coach Bowles. We'll find out if this is the last hurrah for all three of those guys down there in that pirate ship. Saquon Barkley's not getting a whole lot younger here, Jensen, with the, you know, he did win a Super Bowl title here with the Eagles just a couple years ago. And we know that now all the rave has been these joint practices, not so much of an emphasis on the preseason games themselves, more about the stuff that we don't always get to see. So we know that the coaches seem to like that. What about a star running back like Saquon Barkley? Does he like it?
I'm the wrong guy to ask because I hate joint practices, to be honest. I think one day's good, but we play in an ego filled sport with a lot of men, and I'm all about just putting the work in, and it's good to go against someone new. I think we're at that part of camp where we needed to go against a new face. But I do think if you do it the right way, there's a lot of good out of it. Going against different looks, going against different people. It's hard when you got to run the same play over and over against JC and JD. They're pretty good players, and you know they get a hint of what you're doing. It's even harder to block. But, yeah, when you do it the right way, it's good. But, honestly, I'm not really a fan of joint practice. Just, you know, it's just more times than not, nothing good comes out of it. Like, you get the when you have the work, it's good, but then you get the push in, the shove in, and someone say this about you, and I'm like, I don't know, but I'm not that. You're this, and just like, it's immature when we get to that level. I gotta do a better job too, because I'm a little troublemaker sometimes. But I was good this week.
It interesting. I love the Canada nation nature there from Saquon that, you know, we're in an ego-driven sport, right? The men that play this sport, ego-driven. And so you tell them, Jensen, like, hey, everybody, no fighting, right? We saw the Cowboys and the Saints just got big fines for their fights. And yet then the coaches will say, Jensen, you going to let them do that to you? So, like, there's this weird kind of dichotomy going on at these joint practices. You know, again, I'm sure that he's like, hey, I'll play the games, but this stuff, this is kind of getting immature high school stuff in Saquon's mentality there. What do you make of that? That, like, yeah, I know, because I can get pushed too, and then I want to push back. That's Saquon. And I wonder if sometimes the coaches are trying to dial these guys back and also let them go at the same time. Very tough to do both.
So freshman year at Vanderbilt, Dave, we had what we call our black and gold series. So it's our inner squad, highly competitive. We have two captains. They draft the teams, huge steak dinner for the winner. I believe the losing team had to clean everything, so on and so forth. I had a little rivalry going with our starting third baseman, Tony Mancelino, who's now on Walt Weiss's staff there for the Atlanta Braves. I had kind of gotten fed up. I had run my mouth a little bit. He had returned fire. Rules of engagement are what they are. And our senior catcher, our junior catcher at the time, Jonathan Dewyard, I kind of told him, I said, I think I'm taking matters into my own hands here. And so it's inter squad, Dave. And I buzzed the tower first pitch on Manzo. And Tim Corbin, our head coach, now this is first year for TC. And we didn't charge. But Manzo dug back in the box, and I unloaded the clip inside. And you can't break a metal bat, you know, per se, but jam job in. And he came almost nose to nose to me running off after he grounded out. Waited for me outside the locker room, shirt off, and just, you know, his pants and his cleats on. And Dooley was like, I'll walk down with you because I already know what's going to happen. And
wow.
And We set a tone at that point, and Cor brought us together, and he goes, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see it again. And I could see him trying to hold a smile because he was like, yes, that's the edge. That's what we need. We need this kind of edge if we're going to compete in the Southeastern Conference. From that day forward, there was mutual respect, and we ended up going to the SEC tournament in Corb's first year. It was an unbelievable campaign, but that inner squad, that changed the trajectory of our program, no question about it.
That is a fantastic correlation to exactly, I think, what Saquon Barkley's getting at. Fantastic stuff there. Let's talk some more baseball. Daily Diamond, what does a straw poll really mean?
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
College football week number 0 is starting next week. You do not want to bet it blind because that is a losing strategy. So get the VSiN College Football Betting Guide. And if you have a VSiN Pro subscription, you already have access to it right now. In it, previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from all the sharpest minds here at the network. That's not all. VSiN Pro also is going to give you access to the NFL betting guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, plus daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI power prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. You can try it today for as little as $9.99 or lock in a full year and save 50% off with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Got a lot to get to in today's edition of the Daily Docket. We'll talk about the meaning of a straw poll when it comes to MVP. And what about those Bengal Tigers in Cincinnati? That's where we're going to start today's edition of the Daily Docket.
Your snapshot of odds, trends, and futures. This is the Daily Docket.
You know, I was kind of surprised a little bit in our draft with the Bengals whenever they would come up here, Jensen, and the experts we had on, because I kind of felt like maybe people would look to fade them. I didn't get that sense yesterday in the draft. I think some people are still very high in this football team. Win total sitting at 10.5 for a team that won 6 a year ago. Well, I think that we talk a lot about them getting back to a Super Bowl. I wonder if Joe Burrow is tired of all the talk every year leading up to yet another Bengals season.
I'm trying to put it out into the world. I'm trying to manifest it. I'm trying to show our guys the urgency that I have and that I want us to have as an organization to go and make it happen. You can keep pushing it down the road, or you can talk about it now and say this is the year. And you know, I'm tired of saying next year, next year, next year. This is it. Your life is too short to keep pushing things down the road, and I'm trying to instill some urgency and some intensity in everybody to go and be great every day and try to go make it happen.
Whoa. The beginning of that was very interesting to me for a guy that, you know, sometimes I call Emo Joe. You wonder if he's really emotionally invested. He is, Jensen. I remember that stuff from, say, Troy Aikman, when he would get so frustrated that whether it was the coaching staff or the players not taking it as seriously as he is. Look, he's had a lot of injuries, not being able to finish seasons here. Do you read anything there with Joe? Because that tells me a guy that's getting of age. It was like, man, hey, gents, let's go out and take care of business. Let's not talk about it. Let's be about it.
Yeah, it is a little bit. By the way, happy National Fantasy Football Draft Day. Speaking of Joe Burrow, I would imagine that Ja'Marr Chase is going to be one of those top selections in fantasy football drafts here in round ones for wherever you may be drafting. I know that Joe was a popular selection yesterday, and Ja'Marr Chase alongside that in our Pro Football Futures draft yesterday. But let's be honest, Dave, when you're not healthy, you can't really do much. So I think there is a little balance for Joe Burrow here of, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I can't really take anything for granted now because I've missed all this time. We do have generational talents that I've got on this offense. They should, and I underline should in black Sharpie, they should be good. But that's all predicated on health, and that's the big bugaboo with the Bengals is if Joe Burrow can be healthy for the majority of the year, I need 15 starts. To be viable and this team to be taken seriously, that's what you need. It's not Joe Flacco piecing this thing together to keep you alive in the second half of the season. It's got to be Joe Burrow. And I would imagine that this offense gets a little more scripted of him getting the ball out early because they have so much explosion with Chase, with Higgins. Yoshivas has been a reliable target for them. Chase Brown is going to get a hell of a lot of work. So get the ball out, Joe, and keep yourself upright for the entirety of the season.
You know, I mentioned earlier that Baker Mayfield games played in the last 3 years in Tampa, 17, 17, and 17. That's pretty good, right? Joe Burrow, going back to 2020, 10. Then it was 16, 16, 10. 17, 8 last year. That's three seasons there of the last six where you're not getting full seasons out of Joe Burrow. So you got to keep him upright. And Al Golden, that defense has got to take a big step here in year number two with their defensive coordinator to cash some of those win totals, that's for sure. We talk about a straw poll, and one of those was conducted by ESPN when it comes to MVP balloting here. And Jensen, I've seen a lot of this from people I really like and respect, and I'll get text messages about PCA being a Mets fan, you know, and my Cub fans getting on me. Thank you, Saucy, they'll say, for that trade to go get him from New York for Javier Baez back in the day. Well, that straw poll by ESPN has PCA with 15 of those straw polls going to the way of the Cubby superstar and 4 to the ultimate superstar in the game, Shohei Ohtani. Split MVP, come on, get off the fence. You can't do it split here with PCA and Shohei, but two people did do that. Do you put any weight into a straw poll conducted by ESPN?
Yeah, as long as it's not a Dominion machine, then we know it's honest. So I think that we've got, a consensus here, Dave, of people are putting a lot of weight into if you take Pete Crow Armstrong away from the Chicago Cubs. Is that more important and more valuable than taking Shohei Ohtani away, whether it be as a position player and or pitcher? Okay, that let's underline that part of it too. The supporting cast for the Los Angeles Dodgers. No, it hasn't been the dominance so far that we've seen in the last handful of years. But if you take Ohtani away, both pitching and hitting this year, Dodgers are probably still leading this division may not be by 7 or 8 games, but they're still leading the division. They're still one of the top 3 teams in the National League. Take Pecro Armstrong with what he's done offensively and defensively away from the Chicago Cubs this year. Where are the Cubs? They certainly aren't within striking distance of the Milwaukee Brewers. They're certainly not in position to be one of the more dominant forces in the National League side of the bracket. And so this straw poll tells me, Dave, that we might actually, and I hold out hope for this, we might actually be getting an honest assessment of what most valuable means. The most valuable player to their team is Pecro Armstrong, not Shohei Ohtani, by this straw poll. And that's okay. Will we get some voter fatigue? Dave, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. All right. Prepare yourself. The market and the odds can be one, a little window into what you think is happening. And then these writers that have a vote, yeah, they'll take the body of work in for both guys. But they're going to also remember that if you remove said players from those respective teams, where is the overall team? Because that's the spirit of the award. Okay. So we'll see what happens. So I'm kind of intrigued. If both these guys finish well, then I would imagine this kind of holds with where we are with PCA winning the award.
He's -$1.55 to win the award on DraftKings this morning. Shohei plus money here, +$1.25. By the way, no other player listed in the National League. So it does feel like the ultimate two-horse race down the stretch. They come with PCA and Shohei, with nobody else on the board. Let me ask you this in context of Shohei and pitching, because I don't think we thought a month ago that the Dodgers would be fighting to make sure that they get a first-round bye. But that's exactly where they find themselves here, Jensen, in jeopardy of not getting a first-round bye in the postseason, right? So if you need Shohei to try to get one of those top spots in the National League, and then he does have to pitch down the stretch, and he does pitch effectively, do we get right back to the unicorn discussion and say, well, unless PCA goes out there and gets 5 saves, kidding, you know what I mean? That Shohei does what nobody else can do. Out of necessity, would you see Shohei back in there in the rotation? And if he makes a difference then, value, to get the Dodgers one of those top 2 spots, would he be back in play to win that MVP at plus money?
I'm just going to throw this out there, and I just wanted to bring it up. On FanGraphs right now, Jacob Mizorowski has the highest pitching wins above replacement at 5.3, Christopher Sanchez at 5.2. That's just the National League. Shohei Ohtani at 3.0. I get it. He's been hurt. Half a season's a half a season. Dave, I went 13 for 13 in save opportunities in half a season. Got no most valuable player votes, all right? Because I only did the role for half a year, all right? Was I the most valuable reliever in the second half of the season for the Cleveland Indians in 2010? Probably, by the numbers.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter because I didn't do it for the whole year. So I can't win the Rolaids Reliever of the Year Award. Can't do it. So I think that's something to factor in here, even amongst his own competitors on the pitching side. Shohei's not even one of the best pitchers for the body of work of the year. All right, so you can pick and choose and dissect it all you want. This is a full year award. Full year, people. Full year. That's it.
Who won the Rolaids Reliever of the Year Award that year? Oh, that you should have won it when you went 13-13.
I had no business winning it. It was more just being perfect and save opportunities. That's all I cared about.
Pretty darn good, I'd say, 13 for 13. I would have given you a vote, Jensen, that's for sure. All right, when we come back, let's talk more football. We're getting oh so close to week 0. And what about these guys, Jensen, playing pro football and now going back to college? We'll talk about that next. Beeson by the Book.
You're tuned in to Beeson by the Books, right here on Beeson.
Rainbow Authentics and Beeson are taking the bets to the beach. How fun is this? Tim Murray, Matt Youmans headed to Hawaii for a special edition of Beeson Primetime, live from the islands next Wednesday, August 26. Plus, Tim is going to have an island edition of the College Football Betting Podcast, breaking down all of the Week 0 action. Don't miss Beeson in Paradise, live from Hawaii, Wednesday, August 26, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, only on VEASAN. And I know that Tim was very jealous of my First Strike shirt that I wore yesterday at the draft, Jensen, because he was like, oh, we don't have shirts for the college football betting podcast. Tim, you're going to Hawaii. All right. You're going to the Big Island. I think you're doing just fine. Jensen, we did find during the break Joe Friso doing great work here, as our crack staff always does. And Joe pointed out that you got nipped at the wire when you went 13 for 13 in save opportunities by some guy they called K-Rod. He had 62 saves that year.
Yeah, no, he well-deserved. I remember reiterating this story to you guys that my first Major League save opportunity came when I had absolutely no idea that I would even be remotely a candidate for it. It was in then Skydome, north of the border, against the Blue Jays. Back when the bullpens, Dave, behind the left and right field gap walls there, you had to climb a ladder because they had an elevated, it was one of the cooler places to sit in a bullpen, and you got a great little bird's eye view of the field. But it's the eighth inning. We're up by, three, and I'm like, oh, okay. And the phone rings, and Louis Isaacs, our bullpen coach, and goes, Jensen, you win. What?
Whoa.
Like no mental, like getting myself, leading up to this spot. Warning. Yeah, it's going to be you.
Wow.
Holy hell. I run in. The mound looks like it's 120 feet away. Kelly Shopik's our catcher. He's grinning ear to ear. He's like, let's go. Let's go, big boy. We ended up getting through it. That started the streak of 13 for 13 saves, perfect and save conversions to finish the season there. So, yeah, I was. It's a hell of an experience, trial by fire, but we got it done, and I think I was, 49 saves short of K-Rod that year.
Close.
But give me a full season as the closer. Watch what I could do.
I was going to say, you didn't lose. You just ran out of time as a parent, but with that 13 for 13, that's right. For sure. We've been talking a lot this week, Jensen, about one of the more bizarre things we've seen, actually guys suiting up in preseason NFL games, getting sacks in games, and now being eligible to go back and play college football. I'm going to hear about that. We're also going to look ahead to week zero in today's edition of the Daily Gridiron.
This is the Daily Gridiron.
Adam Schefter covers the NFL, as we know from his perch there at ESPN. And he said this yesterday on First Take, talking about what we were talking about. How is this actually legal? We're not lawyers here, that you can actually play preseason football and then somehow get an injunction from a court of law and be eligible to play college football. Here is Schefter's take.
Pete Thamel on Get Up this morning, and apparently there's a judge in Colorado that's going to issue a further ruling today, and I think there's a lot that's up in the air. What I do know from the NFL standpoint is that on Sunday, August 30th, that is the final NFL cutdown day, there are 32 NFL teams that essentially will be releasing 37 players each. That's 1,184 players. I don't know how many of those 1,184 players have used up all 5 years of their college eligibility, but I would venture to say probably not a lot. So you're talking about the prospect of multiple players who don't make it on the NFL rosters, then having the option, potentially, of going back to play in college football. And then there'll be cases where even a player who has the chance to join a NFL practice squad or even an active roster at the veteran minimum might opt to go back to college football. So college football programs now, as Pete Thamel alluded to, are actually looking at NFL teams and studying preseason tape to figure out how they might round out their roster. And if they're bringing in NFL players on September 1st, then that means they're cutting some players from their college programs. And we are living in an unprecedented Wild West world where it's gotten crazier and crazier.
I just hope, Jensen, that when these guys go back to college, will they have time to enroll in Algebra 2 trig? What is happening here? This is the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever heard. And I know we're all trying to do this with a straight face and, well, the legalities of it. And we're talking about cutting college kids to make room for pros. We have really the Pandora's box, Jensen, is all the way open.
Yeah. I mean, hey, Lenora Sellers at South Carolina right now does not have class. It's just a 6-hour internship at a driving range. So that he's eligible to play. We joked, a couple of buddies that I'm in a college fantasy football league with, for the past several years, all big Ohio State fans. And I was thinking, God, this reminds me of when college kids like Andy Katzenmoyer did the underwater basket weaving class. It's just, again, you know, you're like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? This is a weird little wrinkle, though, Dave, because as we know, the law has sort of taken over, not only through NIL eligibility, heck, you know, the COVID eligibility for a while, too. You know, we had, 28, 29-year-olds that were still eligible, their ninth year playing college football.
Insane.
And that's why you saw a lot of the legislation start to be put forward and trying to get guardrails on just the time you're eligible to play college football. Once the clock starts and it runs out, that's it. Here's another instance that will reinforce that, Dave, I feel, of, well, hey, when you turn pro, like, Dave, I couldn't sign with an agent. And if I sign with an agent before the draft, then that would jeopardize my eligibility. I basically foregoing my amateur eligibility. All right. So that was, in my junior year of college at Vanderbilt, I had an advisor who was an agent. I did not sign papers that said you will represent me immediately. It was one of those handshake agreements that if I do get drafted, then you will represent, or at a spot where I want to sign, then you will be my representation. Then we will sign papers and then I move forward. Do I have a year left at Vanderbilt to be able to come back and help the Commodores get back to Omaha? Yeah, technically I do. So maybe I get on Driveline and get moving back there and make the NIL money that I didn't get to when I was an 18-year-old kid. All that being said, and all laughing aside, what do you do now, Dave, in November when some court strikes down the do these colleges have to forfeit games where like, oh, sorry, they were out. Nope, they're not eligible. Like, this is a real headache for college football on top of the issues that they're already dealing with.
Yeah. And you would get real talent if this is allowed, as Adam Schefter was alluding to, with all those potential players that would be in the pool if they still have eligibility. And again, if you just don't care, and clearly we don't care about academics anymore, you would try to get those guys. You can make these, some of these championship rosters. All of a sudden you had NFL talent that playing in preseason games into your college ranks. This is, it's just the ultimate Wild Wild West right now in college football. And yes, you're right, Jensen. Some people, as they alluded to in Tommy Boy, some people go to college for 8 years. Yeah, they're called doctors. Let's get to some of those week zero games here, Jensen. North Carolina against TCU. And again, Carolina, this number has gone up. We're going to be having this game in a week over in Dublin next Saturday to kick off week zero here. Again, I don't know how much more line movement, Jensen, that we're going to get. The total's down to 47.5, and I don't know if it'll get much more suppressed than that. I think you got a better number before this number dropped.
I still think the under is where I would go. 47.5, you can find 48s out there. Could I see TCU covering this number? Absolutely. Again, this is reinforcing how I don't believe that Carolina will have the offense even in year two under Bill Belichick and Bobby Petrino coming in this year to be able to help this group, at least initially. So it would be an underplay for me. I've already told you USC, I think, is going to have something to prove. I think Lincoln Riley, Jade Maiava there for the Trojans, they're going to have to make statements early and often. So I would lay the 38.5 if you believe that they will get off to a quick start. And I think they do. I think you could even alternate spread that one 40 plus, get a little plus money on that. The only other game that I think would really stick out, and it's crucial early on, is NC State and Virginia.
Yep.
Do I think Virginia can win? Yes. Do I think they cover? I don't know if I want to lay that right now. 5.5, not exactly the number. It's kind of the dead number there. Do I think Virginia can win? Yes. Do I think they cover as of today? No, I don't think so.
And again, Tim and Matt will be going out there to Hawaii, getting you ready for their week zero game, which will be at the Tree Stanford. They're 5.5-point underdogs in that contest. Okay, a lot to get to here. Daily Diamond talks Major League Baseball, our best bets. Got some UFC Sacramento plays as well. And the great Lou Finocchiaro, it's all straight ahead right here on Beast and by the Books.